Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
A part of Bohemian Switzerland has been handed back to the National Park Management. The Interior Ministry records its first weekend with no visas issued to Ukrainian refugees since the start of the Russian invasion. And the annual Pride Festival celebrating the LGBT plus community kicks off in Prague. Part of Bohemian Switzerland, where a forest fire has been raging for the last 2 weeks, was handed back to the National Park Administration by firefighters on Monday morning, the Czech news agency reports. The fires in the area in question, a short distance from Janov, have already been extinguished. The head of the fire department, Vladimir Vulček, predicts that the fire in the park as a whole will have been completely extinguished by Friday. The task of the park management will now be to ensure that the fire does not reappear and spread. To this end, there will be round-the-clock patrols checking for fires until at least August 31st, a spokesman for the park administration said. The number of firefighters and resources in Bohemian Switzerland will be greatly reduced this week. The number of firefighters, especially volunteers, has already decreased as a result of the handover of the section of the park near Janov. According to Fire Department Head Vladimir Vulček, there were 30 fewer units of volunteer firefighters on the scene on Monday as compared with Saturday. Firefighters will leave gradually as they hand over other extinguished areas to the park administration. After the section encompassing the evacuated villages of Shensko, Mezna and Mezni Lovka is handed back to the management, the evacuated residents will be able to return home. President Miloš Zeman vetoed an amendment on Monday to reduce state payments to the healthcare sector this year. The government was hoping to save 14 billion crowns in the state budget, but Mr. Zeman has criticised the amendment, saying it will have a negative impact on the quality and availability of healthcare. Ministers have defended the law, saying that it will not jeopardise care and that the amendment is set up in such a way that a year-on-year decrease in payments will not be possible. A coalition majority in the House of Representatives can override a presidential veto, which is likely to happen, as ministers have all stated either to the Czech news agency or on Twitter. Just like on Saturday, Czechia did not issue any temporary protection visas to Ukrainian refugees on Sunday, making it the second day in a row and the first weekend since the Russian invasion began in February that no visas were issued. The number of visas issued on weekends had already been dropping in recent weeks. For example, last Sunday only 11 Ukrainians received temporary protection. However, Saturday was the first day that Czechia did not issue a single temporary protection visa since the start of the conflict. The Czech police have published an online questionnaire where people can report war crimes committed in Ukraine, Czech news daily Deník N reports. The questionnaire is accessible via a link published on the Czech police's Twitter account on Monday. The questionnaire is purely for information gathering, however, and does not replace the filing of a criminal report. Unemployment in Czechia rose to 3.3% in July from 3.1% in June, according to data published on Monday by the Czech Labour Office. At the end of the month, over 240,000 people were looking for a job through employment offices, which is 9,397 more than in June and about 31,500 less than last July. According to the Labour Office, the increase in unemployment is an expected seasonal fluctuation. Prague Pride kicks off at 6 p.m. on Monday with a programme of concerts and other events. The festival celebrating the LGBTQ plus community runs until Sunday and offers dozens of concerts, talks, lectures, exhibitions, theatre performances and film screenings. The event will once again include Saturday's Rainbow Parade, which has not taken place for the past 2 years due to coronavirus restrictions. The parade will begin at Mustek at 1 p.m. and head to Letná, where attendees can listen to concerts on 6 different stages. One of the new events this year will be the Pride Conference, a 2-day human rights conference focusing mainly on the lives of LGBTQ plus people in Central and Eastern Europe. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Tuesday will continue to see warm and sunny weather with daytime temperatures of up to 24 degrees Celsius. My name is Anna Fodor and that's the end of the news, but stay tuned for a closer look at some of today's top stories. Hello listeners and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Anna Fodor in Prague. Here's what's coming up on today's programme. The German ambassador says he is in favour of keeping the second foreign language requirement in Czech schools. A uniquely preserved medieval kitchen has been unearthed in North Moravia. And later on, we look at the biggest organic lavender field in Europe, which is not in Provence as you might think, but in central Bohemia. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Ministry of Education has recently sparked a debate with a proposal to make the learning of a second language in Czech primary schools voluntary rather than compulsory as it is at present. While many teachers have welcomed the idea, a group of foreign diplomats to Czechia have openly spoken out against it. Among them is German ambassador to Prague, Andreas Kuhne, who explained his position to my colleague Ruth Frankova.
I'm convinced that every language you speak really is a window into a new world, into a new way of thinking. And the more languages you speak, the richer you are as an individual. Now, obviously, I agree that it's necessary that everyone speaks English. And yet, even in today's Europe, you won't get very far with just English in many places. English might be enough to get something to eat as a tourist, but if you want to understand anything about how the others think, why they are doing what they are doing, you will need to make an effort at learning their language. And with a view to the compulsory teaching of a second foreign language in the Czech Republic, then I'd ask, should we do away with an important subject just because there are difficulties in teaching, or shouldn't we rather try and improve the system?
Nowadays, children in Czech schools have a wide choice of the second language that they want to learn. They can learn Spanish, French, Russian. Why would you say it is important for Czechs to learn German of all the foreign languages on choice?
Let me stress that this, also from my perspective, isn't just about German. It's really about supporting multilingualism, about bringing Europe closer together. And that's why it was so important to my French, Italian, Spanish colleagues and me that we act in unison. It's at least as much about Europe from our perspective and from my perspective as it is about Germany. But coming to your question, Germany and Austria, we are immediate neighbors of the Czech Republic. Our economic ties are extremely close and so are our cultural ties. And speaking German opens the doors to German companies. We share an 800-kilometer-long border with the Czech Republic. And I'd also like to mention that Germany is the most widely spoken mother tongue in Europe. So I do believe these are very strong reasons for learning German.
I know the German embassy has been involved in promoting the learning of German as a second language. What do you think can be done to increase its popularity among Czech school children?
I know that German has the reputation of being difficult, but you know that I'm studying Czech, I'm trying to learn Czech, and all I can say is that German is a lot less difficult than Czech. But seriously, we're not unhappy about the number of Czech students studying German. But at the same time, the better, obviously, is the enemy of the good. So what we're trying to do is help students and their parents figure out where you can learn German through from the elementary schools through to the high school exam. We bring interested students and companies together with our Sprechtime campaign. We have a very active Goethe Institute. We train teachers. We try and contribute to improving the curricula. We support students of German at universities and so on and so on. So we do engage in a lot of activities. And again, I think the numbers prove us right. But there's obviously always room for improving even a good thing.
As you have already said, we share a common border with Germany and Austria. And there are many Czechs commuting for work to both of these countries. Is German a significant advantage for Czechs searching for a job in your country?
You know, the brief answer would be yes, definitely. I'm convinced that of the commuters we have, there are tens of thousands of commuters, between 40 and 60,000, I guess, 90% of them do speak German. And you'd find it very, very difficult to enter the German labor market without speaking any German. And that's even when you work for a German multinational company where English is supposedly the number one language, you will find yourself excluded from some of the really interesting conversations. And it's no coincidence that also the German Czech Chamber of Commerce and Industry here in Prague have publicly declared their opposition to making the learning of a second foreign language optional.
Archaeologists made an unusual discovery while excavating the ruins of a medieval house in the town of Nový Jičín in the Moravian Silesian region, a well-preserved kitchen that likely dates back to the early 15th century. Tom McEncrow has the details.
Hi. The medieval kitchen, containing a brick oven, hearth, ceramic dishes, and even a wooden cooking spoon, was uncovered by archaeologists during the ongoing excavation of a wooden house from the Middle Ages in the town of Nový Jičín. Pavel Stabrava from the local Novojičín Museum says that the find was made as archaeologists were excavating the underground segments of a house that stands near the northern side of the historic center's town walls.
This was a log house built on a stone foundation. Given the surrounding evidence, including the items that were found inside, we have been able to date it roughly to the period of the early 15th century.
Based on its location, Mr. Stabrava believes that the house would most likely have belonged to a burgher family, a social class equivalent to the medieval bourgeoisie.
Since the house was located near the town walls, this would have been a less wealthy burgher family. The richest burghers would have lived in so-called beer court houses around the town square.
Most likely founded in the 1300s by the Lords of Gravate, Nový or New Jičín seems to have gradually evolved from an earlier settlement around the castle of Starý or Old Jičín, which protected the nearby Amber Road that ran from Poland. František Kolář from the National Heritage Institute, which took part in the dig, says that the town would probably have been largely made up of wooden houses, but admits that not much is known about the medieval settlement.
This is because there haven't been many archaeological excavations in the historical centre of the city. This is one of the first that have been made, and we hope that we will be able to continue with excavations as the historic houses in the city get renovated.
The medieval kitchenware inside the house was found in perfect condition, with the unbroken ceramic pots still containing their original lids. It seems that the items had just been washed and left to dry on the stone hearth. Based on the evident burn marks found within the excavated house and on the surrounding historical sources, Mr. Kolář believes that the items were found in this state because the inhabitants may have been forced to abandon the house in a rush.
The working hypothesis is that the house was destroyed during the conquest of the city by the Hussites in 1427, when Hussite forces campaigned in Moravia and Silesia. Several independent historical sources mention the siege and conquest of the town, including the massacre of some of its citizens.
The artifacts are now in the process of conservation, after which they will be stored in the depositories of the Novojičín Museum. Pavel Stabrava hopes that further planned excavations around the exterior of the house will reveal more about the medieval town and its inhabitants.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature of the day with our contributor, Martina Krowa.
Lavender fields are generally considered to be hallmark of Provence, but you do not need to travel to southern France to delight in the wondrous sight and heady scent of endless rows of purple lavender bushes. Chodoň in central Bohemia is a lavender haven and boasts the biggest organic lavender field in Europe. Lavender Valley is nestled in the heart of the Barrandian Geopark, a geologically unique region between Prague and Plzeň. It was here that Helena Neumannová decided to plant English lavender, the kind of lavender with internal healing effects. She's following up on a tradition established by the Celts, who grew lavender in Chodoň thousands of years ago. Back in 2014, she planted 50,000 lavender bushes in organic quality, and her farm, Lavender Valley, now makes health and wellness products that are used internally, teas, syrups, and food that they offer at their local restaurant and shop. They also offer aromatherapy, spa sessions, and all sorts of therapeutic remedies promising to alleviate depression, anxiety, insomnia, and boost the immune system. I visited the farm and spoke to the founder of Lavender Valley, Helena Neumannová, about the lavender business, their primacy in combining organic lavender and cannabis, and the Czech herbalist and spa tradition. On your website, you write that the Czech Republic is unique because of the biggest organic lavender farms, that you're the biggest organic field in Europe. How did that happen in a small Central European country?
It's very interesting because everybody knows the business case of lavender from Provence. But what it's need to say that Slovenian people had lavender first of all in the world. Nobody knows that because we had the first war, we had the second war. After that, we had communism and a lot of people which were absolutely great herbalists. They emigrated, they ran because of the Hitler and because of the communism. And they started to build great companies around the world. But what is very nice and I think very important for us, that Bulgaria, Black Mountain, Hungary, Slovakia, Czech Republic, we had lavender from 10th century before crisis, before 0.0, and we had absolutely great herbalism. And therefore, now, after the revolution, I mean Velvet Revolution, of course, some people in these countries I named, they started again, you know. So they just, with big honor, like me, try to say to the world, we have Lavender Medical, Lavandula angustifolia, which is absolutely great for inside using, for super products, for food, for healing with inside using, and nobody has that.
Helena proudly points out that unlike commercial lavender farms around the world, in Chodoň they use strictly organic practices and harvest their lavender by hand.
But all of these fields, the same like in Provence, are in convenient production. So we can say they use chemical for planting. But Czech Republic started again with lavender, like us, like Mr. Biza in South Moravia, like lavender close to Reap Mountain, and we are absolutely organic. And that's the most important for Europe, for sustainability, for ecological system in the world, for the planet, for human being and for us.
And what is the biggest difference between the lavender from Provence and the lavender from, say, Czech Republic or from Chodoň?
Yes, absolutely. The most important is that lavender from Provence is convenient. Therefore, it's possible to use that only for cosmetic and for essential oils. But Czech Republic has organic lavender and we can use it inside. You probably know your lavender from your gardens, but this kind of lavender is lavender which you can use only for example, nice decoration or smelling, aromatherapy from breathing, you know, aromatherapy through the lamp, but not using for inside, you know. But this kind of lavenders, organic certificated, is absolutely great for healing inside.
There are two most common species of lavender or lavandula in Latin. First, the English or true lavender, which is planted in Chodoň and can be used for healing purposes, also called Lavandula angustifolia. The second species, Lavandula intermedia, is a hybrid and often referred to as lavandin, planted commonly in France and also produces more essential oils.
Now, in the 21st century, we know something like thousands kinds of lavender. But the Lavandula angustifolia Munsted is the best one in the lavender kinds. And this one, if you plant it in organic quality, then you can say it's herb. Because if you don't plant in organic quality, it's just a flower, not herb. That's the important to say. Then we know we have something special for healing inside. And of course, for food, for organic drinks, for organic chocolate, for organic snack bar, whatever you want.
The lavender grown in Chodoň, Lavandula angustifolia, is also smaller.
But the strength of this herb is inside, not in the head. And of course, Provençal lavender is higher, much higher. And it's great for smelling, you know, but on the other hand, you cannot use it for inside. When you drink, for example, their wine, I say you drink poison.
For foreigners and when marketing abroad, they call their lavender from Chodoň Lavandula Bohemia to highlight the fact that it is from the Czech Republic. And what is so special about the lavender from Chodoň?
Lavandula Bohemia, as we know from the researches during 5 years, has special kind of biodynamic substances, which are very important for autoimmunity diseases in the 21st century. Let's say the kinds of diseases which convenient medicine doesn't know how to help, we can help these people. And I think this is the most important in this kind of herb, because when you use only pure nature with no other effects, with no problems, you know, and with only help, there is something absolutely special and unique. And we hope we will have the end of our research, which is in proceeding during last 5 years. And when we have this stamp, everything is great, then we can use all these results on our etiquettes and or our products.
In Chodoň, they have the perfect combination of herbs, minerals and natural conditions that contribute to the healing effects the plant offers. The limestone in the unique geological area where the lavender is grown adds minerals, and the frost in the winter, and more importantly, the omnipresent wind, stresses the plant that then produces more flavonoids and other biodynamic substances that have healing effects. Just sitting near the fields should help you with migraines or fatigue. Helena Neumannová again.
Our lavender offers antibiotics, antioxidants and antiseptic from pure nature with no other effects. It's help for your digestive system, for your nervous system and of course for your immunity. And what is the most interesting for me, it's that we can help with very bad psychological problems like depression, insomnia and other problems with nervous system. And can you imagine that Japanese people can heal the balance, your balance with the dopamine hormone, which is made in your digestive. And they know and they have the researches with lavandula, with lavender, that lavender is really supporting this production of the dopamine and serotonin in your digestive. So we can say it's something like the second center of your body, mind and soul, because first is brain and the second one is your digestive, where is your center of the immunity.
Lavender Valley participates in research regarding the healing effects of their lavender with the University of Chemistry and Technology in Prague and also with other experts.
We cooperate with docent professor Mr. Petr Kaštánek, which is very famous for using herbs, pure herbs in organic quality for healing and for the research. We are very proud to cooperate with them because they helped us a lot of in the start of the planting and of course in the producing of our super products. And we believe that if we connect together and we will have this research, we can show to the world that we have something absolutely unique.
Lavender Valley has set its sights high. They want to prove the healing effects of their lavender on neurological diseases, even such as multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease, depression and others. And they develop products from the powerful combination of organic lavender and organic cannabis.
We were first team in the world, and I'm very proud of that, who mixed these two queens of herbs. And can you imagine that American guys from CBDMD, which is the biggest producer in the world, and they are supporter for Switzerland clinics, American clinics, and all the best clinics in the world. They asked us to send them these two products to put them to their research.
Helena's vision is to restore the reputation of Czech traditional herbalism and to continue in the country's famous spa tradition.
That's my main goal, let's say. I would love to hear in the world that Czech herbalism is absolutely great. Because when you can imagine, everybody knows lavender from Provence. Everybody knows that lavender is great for shampoo, for soap, for, I don't know, whatever, conditioner, essential oils, perfume. But people do not know how this queen of herbs, because she... And I say she can really serve and support your nervous system, which is the most important now when we live in, let's say, crazy air, crazy epoch, then it's very important for us to try to help Czech herbalism, like Czech country, central Bohemia, like the Mecca of herbalism, because we were that, you know.
And that feature brought to you by Martina Kroa was first broadcast on 15th July of this year. That's all we have time for today here on Radio Prague International. You'll find us on the web at www.radio.cz. If you have any comments about today's programme, we always like to hear from our listeners. Please write to us by email at english@radio.cz or via Facebook or Twitter. Once again, I'm Anna Fodor in Prague. Thanks for tuning in and have a lovely rest of your day.